the trees. When she let it go, it flew like a great bird, while she laughed sweet, merry, childish notes that would have stirred almost any soul. A slim, lean little maid with a great crop of yellow hair, cut short in the neck, and, as we should say now, banged across the forehead. But it was a mass of frowsy curls that seemed full of sunshine. With two or three quick leaps, she captured it again and was just preparing for her next whirl. "Primrose, Primrose, I think thee grows more disorderly every day. What caper is this? Look at these strings. They are like a twisted rope, and if thy bonnet had gone into the pond, for that matter it needs the washtub." Primrose laughed again, and then broke it in the middle with a funny little sound, and glanced at the tall woman beside her, who was smoothing out the strings with sundry pinches. "Certainly thou art a heedless girl. What thou wilt be," she checked herself. "Come at once to the kitchen. Wash thy face and hands, and comb out that nest of frows. Let me see," surveying her. "Thou must have a clean pinafore, and dust thy shoes." Primrose followed Aunt Louise in a spell of wonderment. The scolding was not severe, but it was generally followed by some sort of punishment. A clean pinafore, too. To be set on a high stool and study a psalm, or be relegated to bread and water and dough. She was suddenly hungry. Down in the orchard were delicious ripe apples lying all about the ground. Why had she not gone and taken her fill? She scrubbed her face with her small hands until Aunt Louise said, "That is surely enough." Then she wet her hair and tugged at the tangles, but as for getting it straight, that was out of the question. All this time, Aunt Louise stood by silent, with her soft gray eyes fixed on the culprit, until Prim felt she must scream and run away. The elder turned to a chest of drawers and took out an apron of homespun blue and white check, a straight, bag-like garment with plain armholes and a cord running at the neck. A bit of tape was quite a luxury, as it had to be imported, while one could twist cords, fine or coarse, at home. "Your Aunt Wetherell's housekeeper is in the next room. She has come hither to give notice. Next week will be the time to go in town." "Oh, Aunt Louise, Aunt Louise." Primrose buried her face in the elder's gown. A curious yearning passed over the placid countenance, followed by a stronger one of repression, as she unclasped clinging hands. "It is a misfortune, as I have ever said, and there will be sifting hither and beyond, until thou art 18, a long way off. It makes thee neither fish nor fowl, for what is gained in 1 6 months is upset in the next, but thy mother would have it so." Primrose made no further protest, but swallowed over a great lump in her throat and winked hard. What she longed to do was to jump up and down and declare she would not go, in a tone that would reach the town itself. Even well-trained children had unregenerate impulses, but self-control was one of the early rules impressed upon childhood, the season and soil in which virtues were supposed to take root and flourish most abundantly. There were two doors opening from this kitchen into a small hall, from thence to the ordinary living room, and a smaller one adjoining, used for a sort of parlor, as we should call it now, a kind of stateroom where the friends often held meetings. It was very plain indeed. There were straight white curtains at the windows, without a bit of fringe or netting. Women used to make these adornments as a kind of fancy work, but the rigid rules of the friends discountenanced all such employments, even if it was to improve odd moments. There was no carpet on the floor, which was scrubbed to spotlessness, chairs of oaken frame, bent and polished by the busy housewife until they shone, with seats of broad splint or rushes painted yellow. A large set of drawers, with several shelves on top, stood between the windows, and a wooden settle was ranged along the wall. A table with a great Bible and two or three religious books, and a high mantel with two enormous pictures that glittered in a brilliant color which was called British luster, with brass snuffers and tray and candlesticks, were the only concession to the spirit of worldliness. Primrose entered with a lagging step behind her aunt. There sat Mistress Janice Kent in her riding habit of green cloth faced with red silk.